So, Hari Om and welcome back. Hope everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving break and enjoyed the time off. I will first go through the meaning of the shloka before we go deeper into the analysis done of the shloka. The first one is what we are on. This way, when we have the big picture, it will make sense when we look at the smaller details. So we start by the last portion. The last line. Shri Guru Murtaye, Shri Dakshina Murtaye. To the Guru, who is also Bhagavan Dakshinamurti. Idam Namaha, my salutation, this prostration in the form of the shloka. But who is this Dakshinamurti Bhagavan? So to describe who this Bhagavan is, who is this Guru, is the entire remaining three lines. So the first line says, Vishwam Nijantargatam, the world is within me. And this world that is within me is Tulyam, is similar to Darpana Drishyamana Nagari, is similar to the city which is reflected in a mirror. That is how the world is within me. Just the little meaning to what the shloka is trying to tell. The world is within me, like how the city which is reflected in the mirror. And like in dream, yatha nidraya, just as in dream, now this is on second line. So just as in dream, what do? We project the mind as inside and outside. So just as in dream, by the power of Maya, Mayaya, by the power of Maya, Atmani, where is this Maya staying? The Maya is staying in the self. So the Maya which is staying in the self, Bahihi Iva Udbhutam. Externally arising as though. So this world is seen externally as though by the power of Maya which is residing in the atma. Pashyan, seeing. This is what is happening. And this, yaha, this Guru, who is also Bhagavan Dakshinamurti, Sakshat Kurute, directly experiences at the time of realization, Prabodha Samaya, at the time of realization, sees what? Swatmanam Adwayam Eva. Sees oneself as non-dual at the time of knowledge. So tasmai idam namah. To that Dakshinamurti, to that Guru. I prostrate. This is how the whole shloka goes. Again, the idea of the whole shloka is that my prostration, salutation to that Dakshinamurti, who is also the Guru, is a prostration, because one who sees the world within himself, like how a mirror in which a reflection of a city is seen. And the same city, or not city, but the same world is then projected outside. Bahihi udbhutamiva, projected outside by the power of Maya, which is residing in the self, like in the dream. But when the time of realization comes, when the knowledge has happened, at that time, one knows oneself as, I am that non-dual self. One who has this vision, one who has this knowledge, that is my guru, that is Dakshinamurti. To them, my prostration. This is the shloka. Now we go a little deeper into an understanding what this whole thing means. And when you open up, this is the beauty of Vedanta, is when you open it up, you uncover so many things that that are so mysterious, that we have never thought about it, but the analysis that our rishis did, our saints and sages, they did, is nothing but prostration to them for doing all of this for us. We have heard of this shloka before, right? Yasya deve para bhakti, yatha deve tatha guru. Tasyete katita hirta prakashante mahatma. During puja time, I think we chant that also. And many times we have heard from Swami Sharanamanji also. But, you know, very famous shloka, but this is what it says. Yasya deve para bhakti, one for whom towards Bhagwan there is a supreme devotion. One who is devoted to Bhagwan. Then, yatha devi tatha guru. Just as the same type of devotion one has for Bhagwan also has for the Guru. So same type of devotion to the Guru. So telling what? Guru and Bhagwan are different. Guru is the Ishwara. That is why we see Shri Guru Murtaye, Shri Dakshina Murtaye together. They are one and the same. We should not think of two separate entities. Guru is Bhagwan. Bhagwan alone is the Guru. Tasyete kathita hirta. For such a person, this knowledge is revealed. Prakashante mahatma. When the mahatmas, when the great saints, they reveal this knowledge, they give this knowledge, and that meaning, the artha, is prakashante. It dawns upon them. When does it dawn? When one has a devotion towards Guru and Bhagwan equally. So in that sense is what we should understand here, is my devotion towards the Guru, my devotion towards Bhagwan should be utmost to the top. Now how can I build that up? What can I do to increase that devotion? Knowledge. By knowing who this Guru is, our devotion increases. So who is this person? So Vishwam Nijantaragatam. we start with that. We saw this, but I'm repeating this thought because what we find is number of times when you repeat, it starts sticking. The alien concept starts becoming more clear. So that's why repetition is not looked down upon in Vedanta. So this world, Vishwam, is within me. And the moment we say the world is within me, the question comes is, what is my relationship with the world? You say the world is within me. What should that relationship be like? And the response is, the relationship is of superimposition. It is not a relationship of one coming in contact with another. So this world is not contacting me any way, form at all. So it is superimposed on me. And then to give an example of the superimposition, Adi Shankaracharya says, well, look at the mirror. When we see the mirror and the city in the mirror, mirror is completely detached from the city. Although the city is seen in the mirror, it is completely detached. And the city never even touches the mirror. If we stand in front of a mirror, that mirror is not touching me. Yet it is there. In that similar way, the world is projected in me, is within me. Now, when we think about it, the question arises, how is that possible? You say the world is within me. But if we look at the city that is outside of the mirror, that imaginary city, or whoever the person who is standing in front of that mirror, there is actually a person outside for that person to be reflected within the city, isn't it? Then only a reflection can happen. So that means there has to be a world outside for it to be reflected in me. This, if the thought comes, it's natural. But the answer to that is, example is not to be taken as literal. And that's why this word tulyam comes. It is comparable to it in certain terms. The world is only comparable to that mirage city in certain terms and not in all terms. Because the superimposition that is happening is not the same. Because there's a difference of subject and object. That's why it is different. Here, as we will see now, subject and object are the same. Okay. So this one, this is the first line that we saw last class. Hopefully that is clear where we are going with this idea. This is that guru, this is that Bhagwan who is able to see the world within himself, like how a city seen in the mirror. Now the next question comes, or an objection that is raised. If the world is within me, then why do I see the world externally to me? Correct? It's not that we see the world in me all the time. Right? Within me, I see all my thoughts. Thoughts of anger, greed, desire, compassion, love. So many different things we see within us. But then we don't see the material world that we see externally within us. So the world that we see external is different from the world that we see within us. So therefore, the question here is, if the world is within me, then why do I see the world externally? And in order to give the answer, this is the connection for the first line to the next line. That why is it that I see the world that is within me external to me? Is because Maya. It is because of ignorance. But where does this ignorance stay? The ignorance stays Atmani, in the self. So the ignorance causes the projection of the world Bahihi Udbhutam Iva. Iva, as though external Udbhutam projects. So there is no real world externally, but because of Maya, it projects it externally. Now, this is where the further analysis takes place. This much is clear so far. I like this kind of thinking and thought process, so I'm excited when I talk about it, but I want to make sure that you guys are on the same page. Otherwise, we are all looking at birds and sound of birds are coming in our ears. And why we are talking about this, it will become clear the moment you see the meaning of it. So, now to answer this question, we have to understand from the example of rope and snake. Let's go to the simple example of rope and snake. What is happening in that example? Ignorance of the rope causes the misapprehension of a snake. Correct? There is a rope. On it, you see a snake. Very simple idea. Let's make this simple idea a little complicated by defining what is happening here. So what do we mean by defining what is happening? Let's look at what is the, where is the support for this ignorance? What is supporting the ignorance of the rope? It's the person who is seeing it, right? Because of me, the rope is seen as a snake. So where is the ignorance residing? The ignorance is residing in me, this person. So that is what we call as ashraya of ajnana. The support or substratum for ignorance. Then, what is the object of ignorance? What is the ignorance trying to hide? In this case, the ignorance is hiding the rope. Okay. So, ignorance which is within me hides the rope, causes the misapprehension as a snake. very simple thought only, but we changed the way we look at it differently. That's all we did. So one we saw is the ashraya for our ignorance and vishaya of the ignorance. So ashraya of ignorance is I, the vishaya of ignorance is rupa. This then becomes the point of discussion for different vadas. I'm not going to go into the vada, because if I do, I definitely will have nobody participate next week in the class, because everybody will be thinking, man, this is so tough. Why did I sign up for this class? So we'll not go into the different vadas, but I will definitely tell the names of the two vadas, and we'll talk about the vada that is applicable to us. There's two vadas. One is called Bhamati Vada, and another is called Vivarana Vada. Bhamati is based on a text called Bhamati, which was written by Vachaspati Mishraji, a very great Mahatma. And he used this logic of where is the substratum for ignorance, and where is the what is the object of ignorance. But Bhamati Vada is not the vada that Vedanta supports. Vedanta kind of goes away from it. Vedanta follows the Vivarana Vada. That is what we are interested in. So in that vada, what we say is, where is the ignorance stain? So we say ignorance, which ignorance? The rope and snake example you put aside now. We're not talking about rope and snake anymore. Now we're talking about the ignorance of this whole world. Ignorance about the self. So this ignorance about the self, where is it staying? So Vivarana Vada says this ignorance stays in the self, in the Atman. So what is supporting the ignorance? Atman. And what is the object of the ignorance? What is the ignorance trying to cover? Atman alone. So ignorance stays in Atman, covers the Atman. This is why the way the world is seen is different from how we have to look at the rope and snake example. Because in rope and snake example happens what? The subject is inside me. Because I am the one who is having an ignorance of the rope. But the rope is external to me. So subject is inside, object is outside. But here, subject is me, the Atman. And the object also is me, the Atman. The subject and object are both inside. This is the idea of Atmani. Now further, this vada, what it tries to do is, it tries to explain that there is one ignorance all over. Because where is the ignorance staying? The ignorance is staying in Atma. And therefore there is only one Jiva, one being who is having an ignorance of the Atma. And it cannot be the Jiva in which this ignorance stays. Okay, let me tell this one more time. We are saying that the ignorance is its subject, its ashraya is the self, Atma. And it is not the jiva, because jiva is the cause of ignorance. Therefore, it is not the jiva. And likewise, it is not the Ishvara also, because Ishvara also is the cause of the ignorance. Therefore, what this vada tells is there is one jiva, one Ishvara. Everything is one. But then somebody, you know, will give an argument that if there is one jiva, one Ishvara, then if one's ignorance is over, then everybody should become liberated. Because, you know, only one ignorance is there. You destroy one ignorance, everybody's liberated. Why doesn't that happen? So if somebody else gets liberated next door, I should feel happy. And to understand that, an example given is, there's a room. There's a big building in which there are multiple rooms and it's dark. The rooms are all dark. When you flip on the switch in the main hall, it doesn't illumine the individual rooms. Although the darkness is the same everywhere, it is conditioned by the upadhi, by the walls. Likewise, even though there is one jiva, one Ishvara, liberation of one is only in that upadhi. So you've only flipped a switch of knowledge in that upadhi. That's why only that person is freed from the ignorance, and not everybody else. So the idea this we're trying to get at is, the word that was used is Atmani. In the self is this Maya staying. So when we hear this word, in the self the Maya is staying, what are we trying to get at? How can Maya stay in the self? Because Maya is that, Atman is that substratum which is not touching anything and still is able to support it. This is the nature of the self. Now, another question that comes, this is the conversation that our rishis did with each other. If you are familiar with how Adi Shankaracharya used to do his commentary, he used to write an objection and then he used to come up with a response for his objection. So likewise, a question then comes is, how can ignorance and the self exist together? How can Atma and the ignorance exist together? How can the two be together? You say, why couldn't it be? What is wrong for them to be? Well, both are like fire and water, completely poles apart. Ignorance is change. Ignorance has limitations. Atma is unlimited. Atma has no change. So, ignorance is causing projection. Atma causes no projection. So, there are differences. So, how can these differences coexist? How can they be together? And Vedanta explains that they can be together because the Atma doesn't have any opposition to ignorance. Like how, we go back to the rope and snake example, like how rope has no objection to the snake. Because snake is not real, okay? If the snake were real, then obviously the rope would have objection. But here the snake is not real. Snake is a projection on the rope. So when the snake is a projection on the rope, rope has no objection to snake. So where is the objection? The objection is the knowledge of the rope is hidden. And that knowledge of the rope has objection towards the ignorance of the rope. Ignorance of the rope causes me to see snake. Knowledge of the rope causes me to see the reality of the rope. So where are the objection? The objection is with the knowledge and not with the rope itself, the rope per se. Likewise, Atma has no objection with anybody. Therefore, Maya can stay in Atma and cover Atma. Right? We said that rope is external to us. Therefore, there is a subject outside. And sorry, subject inside, object outside. Here, both subject and object inside. Atma is also inside, and the object that is covered, ignorance that is covering, that is also inside. That is Atma. And it can only happen when there is no objection between Atma and Ajna. And therefore, it has to be a projection only. It cannot be real. So, this is the idea of Atmani. Within the self, Maya using its power. Now, it says Mayaya. So, what is Maya? Well, we all know we have studied Vivek Chudamani and many other texts. So we should know what is Maya. But still, I will explain in a few words what Maya is. In Vivek Chudamani only, Bhagavan Adi Shankaracharya says, Maya, when we look at it from the perspective of Brahman, then Maya doesn't exist. Maya is anirvachaniya. Because you cannot say that it is real, you cannot say it is unreal. That is from the perspective of Brahman. That it is false. Maya is not there. Only Brahman alone is. The fact that I see the self, sorry, the fact that I see the world is my ignorance. That is my problem, not the problem of Atma. So from the level of Atma, Maya is not there. But from the level of Ishvara, Maya is the creative power. Maya is that power which manifests the whole creation. External, which we are able to see outside. That is from the perspective of Ishvara. It's Ishvara's creative power. And from the perspective of Jiva, Maya is that which deludes. Maya is that which causes us to see something completely different. Aghatita ghatna patiyase maya. That is how they say. That which is not supposed to be, Maya makes it happen. So by this Maya power, bahihi, external, eva udbhutam, or udbhutam eva, projected, is this one. So world is therefore projected externally, although it is not external. Now do not think about ourselves from the limitations of the upadhi. Because if you think about you as an upadhi, then obviously upadhi and the vishwa are different. But what did we say? From the perspective of atma, that is why it is saying atmani. So everything is atma. The world is also in atma. I am also in atma. This jiva, this body, all of this is in atma. So the fact that I am seeing the world external is caused by this maya. So what is the maya doing? Maya is putting a layer of, this is BMI, this is my BMI, this is somebody else's BMI, this is only body, no mind, intellect, inert living, non-living objects. So like that, it creates these differences. But in reality, what is it hiding? It is hiding the Maya. Hiding the Atma, hiding that Brahman, hiding that truth. By hiding all of this, it projects on this Atma, the world. Can you give it an example? Can you make it clear? How is this really possible? So again, Adi Shankara says, yes, an example is available. Yatha nidraya, like how in sleep or in our dreams. What do we do in our dreams? In a dream, who is the entity? The jiva. Jiva is that entity who goes into the state of dream. And in that state of dream, by the power of Maya, creates a subject-object dichotomy. In dream, there's a part of us which says, I am this. And then there's another part which says, I am not this, yet I am that. It is mind only. Our thought, which tells that these are all the thieves that are coming to rob me. So that thief who is coming to rob me is me only. But because of Maya, I have divided myself up into thief and me. So like that, the world is projected outside by staying in the self. Okay. So world does not exist, but it is a projection caused by Maya. Okay. Hopefully that is clear. If there is question, then I'll give a little bit of time towards the end for it. And if you want to just chat me the question, please go ahead. I want to finish one more thought, and then that will be it for the shloka, which is our third line. Correct? How do we get to this third idea? So the question therefore is, if the world is projected on me, Does it stay or does it go away? If it goes away, when does it go away? And if it stays, is it true? It has to be real for it to stay. So the answer is, it doesn't stay. It goes away. But when? At the time of realization. So yaha, this person who is sakshat kurute, is able to materialize. Materialize doesn't mean that is actually tangibly able to feel it, but one who is able to see for themselves the sun. When prabodha samaye, yas sakshat kurute prabodha samaye, at the time of dawn. Like how one gets up from sleep, at that time they come to know that I was never the dream, I was never robbed, and I was never the robber also. So both were not there, only I was there. This we realize when we wake up. Likewise, when we wake up from this ignorance of the samsara, that's when we will come to know. Personal direct experience. Sa, sakshat, right? By one's own eyes. But here, eyes is not to be understood as a physical eye. It is the jnana chakshu. By our wisdom, one is able to know. What do they know? Swatmanam advayam eva. I am a non-dual self. There was never a duality of the world external. It was always me. The world that I see external to me is because I identify with the body, so I see that this is another body, or this is another tool, this is another thing, this is what I need to gain, this is what I need to retain, this is what I need to lose. All of it comes because I have identified with this BMI. The moment I disidentify with the BMI, I become one with the world, because I am one. I've been divided because my identification is there with this BMI. So this non-dual, advaya, one self alone is there. When one realizes this, at that point, everything is. So sat chit ananda, I am. When this feeling comes, I am that sat chit ananda self. But this feeling comes without any pratibandha. Pratibandha means obstacles. There are no obstacles that is blocking me from seeing my nature. So what obstacles could there be for us to be blocked? The obstacles created by our mind. Mala, the impurities within our mind. Greed, lust, that which causes us to do adharmic things. That is mala, vikshepa, intellectual turbulence. So our intellect is so bouncing up and down, up and down. And it's bouncing because of desires. But it doesn't have to do with adharma. It could be dharmic. So mala is to do with adharma, vikshepa has to do with dharma, but it is a change, it is that disturbance. And finally, avidya, ignorance. So these are pratibandhas, these are obstacles that come in our self-realization. So one who is able to surpass these obstacles of the mind and uninterrupted, without any other, without a second thing coming between me and Atma. One who realizes, such a person is my guru, is Dakshinamurti, and to them my prostration. Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Idam Namah. So this is the idea of the whole shloka. There is little time, so if you have questions, we can go through questions. If you do not have a question, then we can analyze this a little further. But first, let me see if you have any questions.
Didn't you? Why do we use the instead of saying that we create the projection, why do we say it is projected on me or it is projected? Why do we use the passive voice in that way?
Yes, because I am not ignorance. Because if I am ignorance, I should be able to control ignorance. So I am not causing myself to be ignorant. But ignorance exists because there is non-apprehension of the self. So I didn't cause it to happen, but it is happening. All I can do is I can create a knowledge which will remove that ignorance. So the knowledge is for Jiva. Knowledge is not for the Atma. Therefore, it will stay. Ignorance will stay. And it will go only when knowledge comes.
Kiranji?
Yes,
in the example of rope and snake,
yes.
The origin of the snake on the rope is a previous experience of snake. If he never experienced the snake before, he will not project that snake on the rope. Like a baby, he never experienced snake before. Even snake comes, he holds like a stone. So our ignorance has origin. Our ignorance of snake is a previous experience. But in our ignorance of our own true self, that where did it originate from? It is a pre-existing condition, which comes into genetic form or whatever you call it. It's avidya, has no origin. But in the example of slope and snake, there is the origin because of previous experience, bad experience with the snake. Isn't it true? So how do you justify that part?
It is true. What you explain, and this is one of the, you know, this is like that, this is the argument that a Purva Pakshi does towards the Vedantin thoughts, that, hey, wait a minute, you know, what you're saying only can occur because there is a previous, you know, non-apprehension of, or a previous misapprehension of a snake, or some kind of experience with a snake is what is causing you to see a snake on rope. Vedanta says, okay, if you did not see a snake on the rope, no problem. But the fact is, did you see rope for a rope or did you see rope for something else? Doesn't matter what you see. The fact is, you only misapprehended that rope as something else, whatever that you want to define. We're not concerned with what you see, what we are concerned is with what is the ashraya of your ignorance. Where is this ignorance staying? It is staying in the rope. And what is it covering? What is the ignorance covering? It is covering the rope. So see how it doesn't mention the idea of snake at all. So that's what Vedanta says. We're not concerned what you see. That is a flavoring, icing on top. So, you know, the 4 minutes are there. And I'm sure many of you are feeling that this is a little heavy topic, heavy Vedanta. Full Dakshinamurti Stotram is like that. But if you ponder upon it, you'll get the gist of it. If you do not get the intricacies of what's going on, it's okay. Do not feel that you have to catch all the intricacies. I enjoy it, so I tell it. And this way, I get to, you know, think more about this topic. But if you're not enjoying it, I'll still tell what the whole thought is. The whole thought of the shloka is saying that my prostration to the guru who is Dakshinamurti in this form of the shloka, because this Dakshinamurti is a Bhagwan, or is it this guru who is seeing the world in oneself, like how seeing the reflection in the mirror. That is how the world is seen in oneself. Otherwise, what will happen is if we don't make this connection that the world is similar to that city which is seen in the mirror, then I will think that the connection between me and the world is in a different way. Like it could be a connection of me with the table or chair on which I'm sitting. So is there a relation like that? So we say, no, it is not a relation like that. It is also not a relationship of a color pervading the piece of cloth. It's not the whiteness that is pervading the cloth. It is a relationship of superimposition. So it is trying to establish this idea that Vishwa is a superimposition on the self. Now, having established that this is the superimposition, the Vishwa is a superimposition on the self, this Mahatma, this Guru, is seeing by the power of Maya the world external as though. So seeing the world external as though. And having seen is able to rise to the knowledge. Sakshat Kurute is able to directly perceive Swatmana, one's own self. That Satchidananda Swarupa is able to see that self as non-dual, meaning there is no touch connection with the world at all.
I got it. If you see reality as it is, the whole superimposition is gone. Ishvara Guru Atmeti Murti Bhedi Vipakine Yomapatya Dehaya Dakshina Murti Nama. The last sentence covers all three of them is one. If you see one reality alone, then superimposition, sansar superimposition doesn't exist. Right?
Yes. So the Vishwa includes the PFT BMI. Correct. The Vishwa includes the PFP, BMI, OEP, all of it. And where is this Vishwa? It is in the Om. So Vishwa is in the Om by the power of V. So we is that power which causes the Vishwa to be seen. External. So Om is hidden in its reality, and in place of Om, the Vishwa is projected. That is the power. And it is divided. As I am one jiva, there are so many other jivas. There is material object of the world, star, planets, etc. Okay. All right, so next week, we will take up the next shloka. The first shloka is considered to be one of the, it's considered to be the essence of the entire Dakshinamurti Sloka. And rest, same thought process is there, that to this Guru, to this Dakshinamurti is my prostration in the form of this shloka. Why? Because this Dakshinamurti is this, 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 this. So that was what the next topic will be. So we'll see that next week. Let's do the prayer and we'll continue. Om Purnamadam Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.
Thank you.
Okay. Hari Om. And I am sorry if I confused anybody. Very simple thoughts are there, so do not feel overwhelmed by it. I will do my best to repeat some of the thoughts so you don't feel overwhelmed.
Thank you.